While we finish up with the offering, I would really like to thank the worship team. Thank you so much. That cello, hey, isn't it amazing? I think there are many, many cellos in heaven. Millions. It's just going to be glorious. I'd like to welcome the parents in the mother's room, the parents in the toddler room, the volunteers in the foyer. I'd like to thank those who was here at 7:30, 7 o'clock already this morning to prepare for us. I think there's a special place in heaven there where the cellos are for the volunteers. So thank you so much. It is such a privilege to be able to do the church because of people who are just passionate about the things of God, and therefore they would come early on a cold Sunday morning just because they love the house of the Lord. So welcome to you. Those of us who are not on holiday or on missions or still in bed, it's wonderful to have you here. And I'm very excited about the word this morning. I need it, I think, as much as anybody else might need it. Who of you have noticed that when you gave your life to God, you signed up for trials and tribulations? Anybody? There's this funny thinking in the Western church. Somewhere it creeped in. I really don't get it. But somewhere it creeped in, this thinking that when we give our lives to God, then it's going to be easy. In the persecuted church, they get this. I give my life to God, I will most probably die in the next month or year or years ahead. I might be killed for my faith. I might be tortured for my faith. In the Western church, we battle with this. But the fact of the matter is that in the Word of God, it constantly tells us not to fear. So we should understand why. Why does He keep on telling us not to fear? There's a great, very good reason for it, because we will fear. And if you never fear, you are pretty much superhuman. So when we give our lives to God, we sign up for some difficulty. And we often see in the Word of God, especially in the Psalms, where David is really an example of honesty in his conversations with God. He was very real. And David would constantly say, "Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they prosper? Why are they wealthy? Why are their lives easy? Why don't they battle? Why does the sun shine on them as well?" Because we would love it if the sun did not shine on the wicked, wouldn't we? We would love it if the wicked would just suffer. But the thing is, the sun is shining on them as well. And it seems like even more so, they have a lot of sun. And we battle. And I think we must understand that the life, Jesus said to his disciples, "I send you in between the wolves." He says, "Take up your cross." He says, "Do not be surprised when you are persecuted, when you are mocked." So let's not be surprised any longer when life is hard. And let's rather decide, how are we going to get through it? So this morning I want to speak about taking courage. I often, especially lately in the past year or two, I had so many conversations with people and mostly women. Most of my conversations are with women. And where they would admit to me, and many of them in church, many of them doing very well with their lives, and many of them would admit to me that they are taking some kind of medication to cope, whether it is for depression, whether it is for energy, whether it is to calm them down. I have a cousin, and she came to visit us recently, a week ago. So she brought some presents for our children, and one of the presents was a toy gun for one of my sons. And the gun, the toy gun was in her bag. So her luggage went through and she was in the boarding room waiting to board. Her name is Sankey Hunker. And next thing, there came a voice over the microphone that said, "Sankey Hunker, make yourself known. Sankey Hunker, make yourself known." She was obviously extremely shocked. So she said she did this. I mean, they never teach you how to make yourself known. I mean, nobody ever taught us how to make ourselves known. So she made herself known, and the guards came and they took her, and everybody looked at her like, oh, so you are the criminal in our midst. And when she finally arrived at the little office, they said to her, you have a gun in your bag. And she said, oh, Lord, help me. She said, it's a toy gun. It's not a real gun. It's a clap gun. It's a toy gun. And they said to her, no guns allowed on the plane. Toy guns, real guns, no guns. And then she felt so guilty about the nail clipper in her bag, which one is not allowed to take on the plane. I don't know if you knew this, but she took that out as well, just in case they call her again. So I said to her, wow, how did you cope with that? She said, oh, I just popped a pill. She says, that's what you do, right? When you're stressed, you just take something. I was like, wow, I don't really take something, but apparently lots of people do. And I don't think that's necessarily a sin. Maybe not at all. We must each do as we are comfortable with, and God is not so concerned about the small things like that. He loves us the way that we are with the things that we do. But there's something that we need to understand. We need to take courage. It is not, as I always say, it's not going to get any easier. And we need to learn how to take courage. I believe when the Bible says, do not be afraid, it means take courage. Because you will be afraid, but take courage. And this morning, I just want to speak about how do we do that? How do we take courage? And hopefully by the Holy Spirit, something will be revealed to us this morning with us that we can understand with our spirit man. And I want to read from Psalm 27, verse 14. And it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I find it interesting that just as we speak about offense, we always say you take offense. In other words, offense is something that you choose to take. In the same way, it's like a jacket that you put on. You can take it off again. Maybe hard, but it can be taken off again. In the same way, we need to take courage. It is not just going to come. It is not just going to fall on us. We need to choose it, and we need to put it on like a jacket. And it doesn't have much to do with how we feel. It's got everything to do with a choice that we make to take courage in the Lord and to wait on God and we are going to speak about that now. How do we do that? I really know from experience, I know from the Word of God, I know from the people that serve God, that surround me, especially those who serve Him wholeheartedly, those who have a pure and holy passion and only ambition to know Him and to serve Him. I know from their lives that nothing that they do can be done without having to take courage. And for some of us, we are in a season in our lives when we wake up in the morning and we need courage just to face the day. And God says, I am here and I want to give you the courage that you need. And I want to teach you how to take it. And we are just going to look at a couple of principles this morning. And the first one that I want to speak about is when we ask the question, how do we take courage? Is we need to know God. We need to know God to be able to trust Him, to be able to take courage in Him. The Word of God says, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. It's a very intimate way of knowing somebody when you know them and then they conceive. In the same way, God wants us to know Him. And the more we know Him, the more we grow in Him, the bigger the leaps of faith can be that we are able to take, and the more courage we have. That is why the longer we walk with God, the stronger we become. And the more we see, the more we experience His goodness and His faithfulness. I was walking into the building this morning, and the worship team was practicing, and they were singing the song, "As the Deer Pants for the Water," that we just ended off now with. And I had to smile because I remember the very first time that I preached many years ago. I was extremely nervous. I prepared for 18 hours. I was very well prepared, and I was extremely nervous. And I walked into the church building. It was in Franschhoek, and the band was practicing just like this morning, and they were playing singing one of my favorite songs. And I ran to the bathroom and I fell on my knees and I said, "Jesus, it's a sign. It's a sign that you are going to be with me and that you are going to help me. Thank you, thank you." And I was so overwhelmed with the sign. And this morning I walked in and my only thought was, That is a beautiful song. Never crossed my mind that I need a sign, because I know God now. I know that He will do it. I don't have to fear anymore, because I've seen Him coming through so many times. I remember also when I was pregnant with my first child almost 11 years ago, and I made a decision beforehand to do the whole delivery thing without any pain relief. I was one of those "I am going to be strong" kind of women. So the time came for the baby to be born, and we went to the hospital, and the contractions were fairly mild, and then it became a little bit heavier, and then it became a little bit more heavier. And I became fearful, but quite intensely fearful. So once again, I went to the bathroom and I locked the door, and I was sitting on the toilet in the bathroom, and I was praying this prayer. I said, "God, I beg you, don't let it be sore. God, don't let it hurt. God, I will do anything. Just please, God, don't let it be sore." I was begging God, and I made all kinds of promises to Him. What I will do after this baby's out of my body, I will get up directly from there and I will go and preach. I will do anything. Just please, God, don't let it be sore. So God never answered that prayer. He did not. But it was an amazing, amazing, unbelievable experience. And then I had my fifth baby. And the same thing, I wasn't going to have any pain relief. And I walked into the hospital, and it was really, really sore. And I prayed this prayer: "God, thank you that you are with me. Thank you, God, that having been doing this four times, and this is my fifth time now, I know that it will hurt, but I also know that you will be there, that you will never leave me, that you will never forsake me, that you will help me through this, and I worship you for it." That was my prayer, a prayer of confidence, a prayer of knowing that I know who my God is and that He is with me. And by the way, the nurse told me afterwards, "You are good at this. I wish I taped this. I would teach everybody how to do this." I was like, "Well, I had time to practice this." And I've just realized in my life, and I'm sure many of you have, that we need to press in to know God, to be able to tick many boxes of where God came through, of what God helped me through, to in the end have a quiet and incredible confidence in Him. And this never happens when we are not willing to take risks. We need to take risks. And whenever it is like Peter getting out of the boat, Whenever we have to learn to trust God, God will usually in the areas where we are in a comfort zone, it is in those areas often that He will expect us to trust Him. Have you noticed that? If we find our security in finances, He will often expect us to give our last little bit of money just so that He can teach us to trust Him. If it is in the area of having conversations with people and you would rather die than approaching that person, God would probably want you to get out of the boat and approach that person and speak to him or her. Whatever the area may be, but God will expect us to take risks. And sometimes it will backfire on us. Sometimes we will do something and it does not work out. And we tend to pull back and say never again. And it is right there where we make the mistake. Because God wants us to get up and try again, because we need to become strong and we need to become trusting. And just like a child who is learning to walk, and often he will fall and he will stand up again and he will bump into things and things will go wrong, but eventually that child can run. Why? Because he had to take the risk. And we need to be brave enough and take courage to take risks, because every time when we take a risk, we learn how to trust God and we learn to know Him. And the more we know Him, the bigger we can go, the more we can do, and the more we can allow Him to work through us, because we have no fear. A second principle. We need to worship Him. I think when the Word of God says, wait upon the Lord, it means many things. I don't think it can be reduced to one small sentence or explanation. And I think one of the things that it refers to is to worship Him. I live with six people in my house. Now, how many are we? Five children and two adults. That's seven people, myself, including myself, eight. So, I live with Anton, my husband, and Rachel. Many of you will know her. And I'm always amazed at Anton and Rachel, both of them. I have two examples all the time. Whenever things are difficult, whenever they need to take courage, they will either sing worship songs or they will put the music on. Whenever I hear the music from Rachel's room and I hear how she worships with the music, I know she needs to take courage. And especially so my husband, when he is in the shower and he sings, he doesn't do that quite often, but whenever it becomes really hard, I can expect it. I wake up in the middle of the night and he is busy praying or singing. He's busy worshiping God. Why? Because they understand something about taking courage. God comes to the King Jehoshaphat, and you can read that story in Chronicles. And he says to God, how will we ever defeat this army that is rising up against us? And God says, this is what you are going to do. You are going to put your worshippers in your front lines, not your soldiers, your worshippers. And you will win this army by worshiping me. It is an amazing way to take courage, is to worship God. That is why those martyrs that we often see in movies, as they walk to their, whether they are going to be hanged or beheaded or burned, as they walk, they worship. Why are they worshiping? Because they are busy taking courage. It is a key. Why? Because when we worship, we see God and we don't see the problem anymore. Okay. Another principle in taking courage is wrestling with God. I often think about Jesus. I often think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there in the garden on his knees, and he is wrestling with God. I think if there ever was a wrestle, with God that all of heaven was just quiet and just watching and waiting to see the outcome. It was that moment when Jesus was on his knees, sweating blood and begging God, can this cup please pass me? But not my will, Father, your will. There's something very powerful in wrestling with God, and that is where Jesus got his courage from. He was in that place wrestling with God, and he got up, cool, calm, and collected, and he walked to the cruelest death that anybody can ever experience. And God does not expect us to be robots. Otherwise, he would have made us robots. He made us with emotion. He made us with a lot of things going on in our hearts. And we have a past, and we have a present, and we have a future, and we have influences in our lives, and we have difficult circumstances. And God says, I want you to come to me, and I want you to wrestle with me. I want you to ask me questions, and I want you to speak your heart. And once again, we see that with David. David is forever wrestling with God. But why? Why, like I said, do you prosper the wicked? Why this and why that? And then he always ends with, but I will worship you. But I will, even though I understand, I will sleep and you will speak to me in my sleep, and I will get up and you will be with me, and you will not leave me, and you will not forsake me. It speaks about relationship. There is an intense relationship between David and God. That is what God wants from you and from me. He wants our hearts. He wants conversation, just like we want conversation with our children. We want to speak to them. We want to impart to them. We want them to speak to us. We want them to ask us questions. We want them to engage with us. And we want to be able to give them the wisdom that they need to live this life. God wants to do exactly the same. He wants us to come to him with the condition that our hearts are in. And it's amazing to go for a walk on the beach, or especially in this place where we live. It's just mountains and vineyards. And just wrestle with God. I had such an amazing conversation with Marisha. I don't think she's here. I think she's on missions. Some of you may know her, Skip and his two sons and his daughter. And Skip lost his wife, his beautiful wife, Barbara, to cancer. And Marisha was very close to her mother. And while her mother was so very sick, she said to me, I go for a walk. I walk in the mountains. I walk between the vineyards. And I ask God, why are you not healing my mother? Do I have the answer for Marisha? No, none of us have. But what does she have? She has the relationship with God to ask him and to tell him how she feels and to expect from him peace that surpasses all understanding. Who of you were at that funeral? It was such a holy moment. One doesn't even want to talk about it, but she got up. And she was dancing on the green grass while we were worshiping. She was just dancing before the Lord on the day that she was burying her mother that she loved so much, because she took courage in her wrestle with God. Then we need to make a choice every single day. There is a quote that says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the little voice at the end of the day that says, I will try again tomorrow. Let me read that again. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is that little voice at the end of the day that says, I will try again tomorrow. When I became a mother, I started appreciating the word of God that says, his mercies are new every morning. So today I would scream at my kids. And tomorrow morning I would wake up and I would say, God, this is a new day and this is a new beginning. And today I'm going to try harder. And very often, you know, The word of God calls Satan the father of all lies. If you are the father of something, it means you planted the seed to conceive that thing. Satan is the one who plants the seeds of every single lie that is going around on the face of the earth. And those lies are extremely destructive. And one of the things that he does with those lies is he discourages us. It means he steals our courage with lies. And we need to make a choice whether we are going to believe that lie or not. God says, I put before you life and death. Choose. Every morning there is a new opportunity to choose. I remember once I was very upset and in a very bad mood, and I was walking in the street. And the Spirit of God was speaking to me, and he said to me, I want you to smile. I was like, I don't want to smile. I don't feel like smiling. And he said to me, I want you to smile. I want you to choose joy over the bad mood that you are in because of the very legitimate reasons that you have for your bad mood. And I chose to smile. Have you ever noticed what it does to you if you smile? Can we all smile? You feel completely different. You don't want to, because you you want to not feel, you don't want to admit that. But it is a choice that we make every single morning. A choice to take courage. A choice to trust God. A choice to believe that all things work together to the good of those who walk according to the Spirit. It is a choice that we make, regardless of what we see and regardless of what we experience. There is so much power in our ability to choose. And that is why the word says, choose life. Choose life. Do it by faith. Do it like a child. You know, our children, I think most of us who sit here, they would stand on the edge of a swimming pool and they cannot swim. And you would stand in the pool and you would say jump, and they would simply jump into your arms. They have no doubt whatsoever that you are going to catch them. because they know you, because they trust you, because they choose every single day. Okay. I'm almost finished. A third principle in taking courage is by waiting on God and not to look to ourselves. We cannot find courage within ourselves. We can find courage in God. That is why we need to stop looking in the mirror and start looking towards God. You know, there's this joke that says, When the Boeing falls, there's no atheist in the plane anymore. you need to be able to call on somebody. There comes a time in our lives, I think for all of us, there will come a day or a moment when we will need to call upon somebody. And we need to call upon God, and we need to take our courage from Him. That means whatever my circumstances are, whatever I'm going through, whatever I went through in the past, whatever my future looks like, whatever, God does not change. God is the same. He is the one who took Joseph from being a slave to becoming second in command of almost the known world at that time. He was the one who used Esther to save a nation. He was the one who used Moses, who said, God, I can't speak, I stutter. He is the one. He never changes. He never changes. We need to look towards Him and not at ourselves. We will not find that courage within ourselves. Maybe to a point, and then it will fail us. But God will never fail us. And then lastly, I want to read from Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up. There's another quote that I would like to read. A hero is no braver than an ordinary man, but he is braver 5 minutes longer. You know, I often look at the Church of Jesus Christ, the Western Church mostly, and I suspect that we really lack some backbone. I suspect that we really lack endurance. We want everything quick. We are so used to having everything easy and everything quick. We don't have, most of us, not all of us, we don't have to walk a long distance to fetch water, to have water in the house. We don't have to walk a long distance to get anywhere. We just get into our cars and we drive. When we are cold, we just get something from the cupboard and we put it on and we are warm. When we miss somebody, we just pick up the phone and we phone them. And there's something about endurance that we have lost. Sometimes somebody will say, I have been praying for a whole year and nothing has changed. And I want to say, a year is not that much, hey? With God, it is not. Sometimes we need to pray for 10 or 15 years before something might change. We need to learn how to endure. We need to learn how to be strong. We need to learn how to, when all the odds are against us, still trust God for the outcome. We do that by taking courage. That is how we do that. Can we all stand this morning? I'm just going to pray over all of us. And I want to ask the worship team if we can sing that song again about running into his arms. Let's just close our eyes. Father, this morning, God, as a church, we come to you, God. You know us, Lord. You know every individual that is standing here. God, your word says that you know our coming in and our going out. You know our sitting down and our standing up. You know us, Lord. But God, this morning we want to tell you that we want to know you, God. We want to press in to know you. We want to know you intimately, Lord. Like a husband and a wife know each other intimately. We want to know you intimately, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you that you don't judge us for being afraid. But God, you encourage us to look to you and to wait on you and to take courage in you and to choose to trust you, Lord. And Father, every one of us who is standing here, we have a calling, we have a destiny, we have something that we have to accomplish for the purposes of your kingdom, and it's different for all of us, Lord, but we all need the same thing. We need to take courage, just like you told Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, do not be afraid, be very brave. And Father, this morning we come to you, God, and we want to say as a church that we choose to take courage in you, God. We choose to take courage, Lord. And Father, our prayer is that we will become the Joshua and the Caleb and the Esther and the Deborah and the Mary and the Moses and the Paul and the Matthew and the Titus of this day and age, Lord. Because we choose to trust you, Lord. We take courage in you, God. Whatever it is that you are calling us to do, Lord, we want to take courage in you. We want to know you, Lord. We worship you, Father. You are such a great God. If you are here this morning and you do not know him, you do not know God in the way that you can feel and say that I have an intimate relationship with him, I can wrestle with him, I can speak my heart, I can pour my heart out, I want you to ask, while we are going to sing this song, won't you come to the front and we will introduce you to him and your life will be changed forever. If you are here this morning and you have a need for us to pray with you, that is why we are here, then we would love to do so. So please come while we are singing the song. And for the rest, I want to say that as we are drawing near to God, as we are telling him that we want to run into his arms, let's choose the courage that he wants to give us this morning. In the name of Jesus.